星があるなら巨大な敵を撃てよ撃てよ撃てよ、正義の怒りをぶつけろガンダム機動戦士、ガンダムガンダム、よみがえるよみがえるよみがえるガンダム、君よ掴め、銀河へ向かって飛べよガンダム機動戦士、ガンダムガンダム、
everybody, welcome to a special episode for our pre-Anime NYC 2018 adventures.
It turns out Anime NYC is fine. The New York Comic Con anime spin-off died such a horrible death.
Well, we don't know if it's gone.
Well, yeah, I guess it went over so bad that I don't think anybody at Anime NYC is... I assume they are at least breathing at least a small sigh of relief.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I think we're also kind of breathing a sigh of relief because Anime Con's Come to New York City to Die essentially has been an ongoing problem. And the first year of Anime NYC, we thought it was really great. I think, you know, everybody who really went, I think in general, had really positive response to it. But just because we enjoyed it doesn't necessarily mean it was successful or they could do it again. But, you know, they're ready. And this year, they've said, you know, they're using a little bit more of the Javits Center. It's a little bit bigger than it was for their first year, so they're growing.
And I feel, like I said in our last review last year, they seem to have a very reasonable start. Like, it definitely felt like a New York convention, but it felt like a very measured New York convention. And they seem to have a smart amount of growth this year. You know, we'll get into it, but I think there are a lot of premieres, a lot of cool guests. But still, it doesn't feel like they're trying to... Now we shall crush Otakon and Anime Expo!
They're not going from having a good first year to being overly ambitious, it doesn't seem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that they have no control over. And I know we talked about it last year, but the weather really cooperated for them last year. Who knows? New York City is having a very warm fall, so it might end up continuing to work out. But November is just it's such an odd time for a con, so that's always going to be a factor, especially here in the Northeast. It's just a little bit unpredictable.
Yeah, hopefully it'll work out for them. I'd like a pleasant commute, but we'll see what happens.
And I think that the 7 train will not be running on the weekend, just as it wasn't running during New York Comic Con because they're updating signals. So there's the longer walk involved.
Then once again, if it is a pleasant fall day, that would help everybody out a lot.
So before we recorded this podcast, I was lamenting to Al that their app still wasn't up, and I was wrong. Al informed me that it's on the guidebook, and that was a little confusing to me because I thought that they were going to have their own app, or that was how it was worded, so I was not really looking in the right place for this, but luckily it's there, so if you are also looking for it and a little confused, it's just on regular old guidebook, which is fine. I really actually don't want people inventing their own apps. I'm really happy for you to just use guidebook. They know what they're doing at this point, and it's just easier.
They're not perfect, but they work in every way that really you need them to, which I think is more important than anything else.
I mean, they've incorporated the few things that I personally wanted in it, so I'm very happy.
Yeah.
And it's just not as buggy as seemingly the apps that are really specific to cons, like New York Comic Con app is a little, like, wonky and whatnot. So, but anyway, I'm going to talk about my favorite thing that I now talk about every time we record a pre-podcast, and then I think I even talk about it in the post-podcast, which is the map for the con center. So Like I mentioned at the beginning, they're using more of the Javits, but not, of course, the whole Javits for this convention. And we have sort of three layers. And the Artist Alley is where it was last year, so it's up on the uppermost floor, which is great, has a lot of great light. It was an excellent space for it last year, so I'm really glad it's there. The Exhibitors Hall is where it was before, but now it's taking up more of that space. Last year, the Exhibitors Hall and the panel rooms were right, they were in the same area. The panel rooms had their own rooms, so you weren't overwhelmed by what was going on in the Exhibitors Hall, but they were basically, you could just walk right out the door and you were in the Exhibitors Hall. This time, the panel rooms are down near the main stage. So kind of where traditionally, if you've ever been to the Javits Center, where panels usually are, essentially. In that hall that's down, like, kind of in the basement area. So they've moved the panel rooms. I'll be interested to see what that does to traffic for panels, because last year the panels were very well attended.
Because you just walked over from the dealer's room to the panel rooms. And basically the line for the panel rooms was kind of almost a sound buffer, which helped out a lot.
Right, and I felt like it was more conducive to just wandering in or seeing what was in there. Or you'd see a line, which attracts people to things. They're, oh, there's a line for what's that cool thing that people are lining up for? So they won't have sort of that cross-pollination sort of a thing going on. I don't know if it will really matter, because attendance was really, you know, was very good. So I expect a similar attendance this year. I'm just wondering if we will see any sort of discernible difference from that.
Yeah, it did seem to possibly lead to greater discovery.
And also down where the panel rooms and the main stage are is going to be the autographing area. So it might be pretty busy down there. Having that also be there, I'm not sure how they are going to be running that. I didn't do autographs last year. Did you do autographs last year?
No.
So I'm not really even sure how they handle it yet. But I will be trying to get one this year, so I will definitely report back on whatever method they use for it.
So, Kate, I have two questions before we continue on. One, just mentioning the exhibit rooms, you know, the dealer's room. Do you think they'll have food in there again? Because I remember with some of the cultural things they were able to get, like the bento boxes and stuff. Do you think they'll be able to do that again this year? That's not a question I think you know the answer to. I'm just curious of your thoughts.
Yeah, I really hope so, because that rocked. And there was also just food around the perimeter a little bit, I think, in there, if I'm remembering.
I think there was also some, like, Japanese confectionaries and the such.
It was very unclear how they got away with selling food. Maybe it was because it was not hot. It was boxed. Maybe that was, like, the line that couldn't be crossed or whatnot. Yeah, I really hope so. It was really fun being able to just get, like, bento or rice ball right there.
You, being the queen of Artist Alley.
Well, thank you. That's high praise.
And also, its chief market analyst.
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you notice anybody super interesting? I know every once in a while there'll be an interesting artist or something. Did they have, like, professional mangaka or a doujin artist in the Artist Alley last year?
I'm trying to remember. Yes. There were a couple of... Yes, there were. I think there was, like, somebody who's, like, was an assistant for, like, a bunch of people. Something like that. Now you're reminding me that did occur. So I'm only about halfway through the Artist Alley list. I've been trying to look at every single person on, and it's very large. So obviously there's a lot of people I'm interested in, but I haven't seen anything that was like, oh, this is a professional from Japan or something like that. So yeah, that will be really interesting to see, especially because they do have a pretty good amount of artist guests. They should all just have a table selling cool stuff in the alley. I think that would be super fun, and more cons to totally do that. My other question about the, now that you're bringing up, like, oh, I wonder what this is going to be like, is last year, remember there was all those multiple security checkpoints because of the way they were using the convention center. And I think everybody was, I mean, it wasn't horrible or anything, but it was sort of like a little bit annoying. So curious to see if they've come up with like a better way to handle that, or if there will, no, there just has to be multiple checks because we're not using the whole building.
Yeah, it never ruined my experience, but it did make me every once in a while, did I really want to go over the out of the section?
I know, there was a little like, if I go out, I have to, I don't know, especially if you have a bag or something. Yeah. If you don't have a bag, it's very whatever, but most people going to a con have some sort of bag. So, yeah, so that's, I think, the layout question, I think that's another one that will remain to be answered. So, okay, you mentioned at the top of this, you know, that there was, like, a lot of guests and premieres and da-da-da-da, so let's talk about some of those.
So, I think we should first and foremost talk about, I think, the guests we're most excited about. Kate, I know you want to say Wrong Game Murata, but I said both of us.
Uh-huh. And only I'm excited about that? Yeah. Was that the implication of
yes,
that?
Yes, of course.
Not going to insult anyone on this episode of the First Teams podcast.
We'll say that for the main speakeasy.
Yeah.
Toru Furuya, who has had countless major roles. I think most people probably either know him as the voice of Amuro Ray from Mobile Suit Gundam or Tuxedo Mask from Sailor Moon.
Tuxedo Dum Dum, but still, the lovable, like a lovable, you know, I think everybody has a lot of fondness for TM. He's special in so many ways.
I think you could say that also about Amuro, right?
Yeah. I feel as though Amuro really was a character who grew on me very deeply over the mini, like, not just original Gundam, but, you know, continued parts of Gundam, whereas I think Tuxedo Mask is exactly who he is from the very moment that he arrives.
Okay, random. I'm gonna have to get off topic. Just talk about Amuro Ray.
How unusual.
Look, this is important. So, I was looking at questions for Toru Furuya, if we got to interview him. And of course, I looked up Amuro. In Wikipedia, if you like Google search Amuro Ray, they have like a little brief Wikipedia thing for him. And you know, Amuro Ray, born this colony, this, that, and that. And it said love interest. And it said, and only listed Chan Agi.
Wikipedia would burn it down. Burn the whole thing down.
I was like, how dare you only list Chan Agi as Amuro Ray's, as if she was his one and only love interest. Strike this Wikipedia entry down.
Yeah, they don't even have taste. Yeah, but Toru Furuya, I mean, he's a lot of people. He's had an amazing career. I am so excited. He has been to some U.S. cons, but he's never been here. So a lot of us are, you know, going to be seeing him for the first time.
So are you going to ask him, as one of the few American fans, are you going to ask him, say, Pegasus, or what's his character from Saint Seiya?
Seiya, right?
Seiya, yeah. You're going to ask him any Seiya questions?
Oh, no. If I get to ask him if I get to ask him a bunch of questions, sure. But if I only get to ask him one question, I'm definitely asking him a Detective Conan question. Who do you think I am?
True enough.
Yeah, because he is also, this is actually, I think we've brought this up before, but anyway, for anybody who doesn't remember or just like tunes out as soon as I mention Detective Conan and stops listening. So, Toru Furuya plays Toru Amuro in Detective Conan. And that's like his alias, because his real name is Ray Furuya. Okay. And
isn't he also a rival to the character who is played by Char's voice actor?
Yes. I mean, there's like there's like tons of like Gundam references, and they have like, yeah, this total Amuro Char rivalry. And he also drives a car that kind of looks like a gun. Anyway, there's just a lot. So, yes.
Isn't it also like an RX-78?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they make a ton of references about it, and so it's just, like, baked in to the Detective Conan character, which is very fun. So, also, the most recent Conan movie is focused on this character, so he's having a real, like, extra super spotlight on him as this character, because this character in Conan is insanely popular.
Didn't he just get, like, also a spin-off manga as well?
Yep. So there's a lot going on for this character. So, of course, yeah, I don't know what yet. I'm working on, you know, whatever I want to ask. But if I get to say anything, it's going to be about Conan. But I don't know if I'm going to get to, because I was just looking up the autograph sessions, and he has one. And then he has a group one with a bunch of Sailor Moon people. So, like, forget that one. So he has one. And, of course, it's, like, right near his panel time. So if I want to get something signed, I can't go to the panel. And I really, normally, I don't prioritize autographs, but I'm probably going to try to for this one. I can't believe they only have one. I mean, technically, I guess there's two, but I feel like that's just not enough. So, some other people, a few other people are going to be at this con. The list, the Japanese guest list is really huge. So, definitely not going to be able to mention everybody here. We also have voice actor Setsuo Ito, who is a pretty new, a young voice actor, kind of like an up-and-comer, and he plays Mob in Mob Psycho 100, and they're also premiering the second season, so I'm really looking forward to that. We have all the musical guests.
Yeah, because it's the Anime Matsuri music thing again, this whole bunch of stuff. I'm most excited about Eimer, since they're doing a Fate concert that I'm hopefully going to get in this press. That should be super fun.
And there's so many. This is, like, one of my favorite things, which I really wish Otakon did more of. There's a bunch of premieres. There's a bunch of movies, like, that, you know, we haven't gotten to see before. And just, like, I'm actually, like, most of my schedule is premieres and actually watching anime. I am the most excited for the Natsume Eugene Show movie. That is really unexpected. I'm so thrilled that we are going to get to see that movie. It was, if you are only, like, vaguely familiar with Natsume Eugene Show, you could totally watch this movie. It's a very, you know, it's a series that has an overall narrative, but it also has, like, quality where you can kind of come in and out if you want to. So I definitely recommend seeing it. I have only heard, like, great things about it. I am really, really excited to that is going to be there. They also have, like I said, there's the Mob Psycho 100. There's, like, 75K movies.
But do they all still have that one blonde girl doing that one attack animation?
Yes, it's actually that for 25 minutes at least. And there's Kase-san and Morning Glory's movie, another one that only came out this year and has had a lot of good buzz about it. But, you know, it's something that is not, like, we don't have, it's, like, not, like, oh, you go see it some other way. So it's just super exciting. It's a love story.
I know they have that Miyazaki documentary that has a premiere. There's the Lupin 50th anniversary movie. I really want to go see that. That looks super interesting. I'm really curious, especially after part 5, to see what they do with that. I mean, they even have, once again, we don't super care about it, but they have, like, a fairy tale movie premiere, which I'm sure is going to get a lot of people just by the fact that it's fairy tale. And I don't think if he has a part in it, I don't know about it, but they have also that Gundam NT premiere.
Yeah, but it's a sneak preview or something, yeah, like that, so it's not, like, a full whatever. But still, hey, I want to go see that. I want to be one of the first people to get to see the new Gundam, you know, anything from the new Gundam. And that's only a few of the things. Like, that, but that's like a ridiculous list. I can't believe all of those things are happening, plus more.
Yeah, if you went to any other con, all those would be good. And they're like, oh, but there are, like, six others that we either don't remember or we're not that interested in, but are still premieres.
And we also have a few artists. Al alluded to one of them before.
Kate's favorite.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Absolutely. And we also have the artist from Letter B is going to be there. He's doing like a live drawing session on Sunday, which I think will be really cool. Like seeing any mangaka draw live is just fascinating. And he's kind of like a surprising guest. Like not someone I would have, I wouldn't have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Any panels, Al, that you're going to be going to?
Definitely going to the granddaughter panel, just because that's, pretty much a given at this point. Oh, I did notice that there were a few, video game, there's an Arc Systems, and they make pretty anime-y video games, but still that was pretty interesting. And they have the Kill la Kill video game. Once again, they seem game companies that are on topic, but I thought that was pretty interesting that they got them to come to a convention like this.
I saw a number of LGBTQ panels, either about fans or about anime and manga. I also saw there's Blurds in Geekdom, Black Nerds, People of Color panel on Sunday. So I saw I felt like they were doing some diversity panels. And there were, obviously, there's a bit more space, so there's more panels this year than there were last year. So where is the music happening? It's not listed on the regular schedule, so I wasn't sure if it was on-site or off-site.
I don't know, actually, to tell you the truth.
I thought you were seeing a concert.
That one is listed on the schedule. The Aimer Fate Stay Night Bond is listed in main events. It's the other ones. I don't know where those are. The one I cared about, I know where that one is.
Okay, so that's going to be at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Ah. So that's a little bit up 34th Street for a few people. A lot of events are held there during New York Comic Con. I didn't do Anime World Matsuri last year, so I don't know if it was also held there. The concert that I saw last year was in main events as well. So it does seem like they're definitely utilizing more of New York also this year. As per usual, I'm going to be spending a lot of time in Artist Alley. I really, of course, always have a big focus on that. But last year it was just the best one I went to all year. So I have a lot of very high hopes for it again. So mostly I'm just going to be going to Artist Alley and watching anime, which sounds like a really good con.
Also, I feel like somewhere out there, it's like people watch anime at the anime convention. Shocking.
Yeah, it's shocking to me too. But I do like doing that. Not really seeing the setups. We just have to hope that the setups are good for and conducive for watching subtitled anime. That can always be a little bit dicey if the screens are low or short people, as I am one, sometimes have problems with that. But I did watch some anime last year there, and it was all fine. So I think they have it, well in hand. I want to believe that the first year was not a fluke and that it will just be even better than the first one.
I think that's all we can hope for. Just